You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mamutsi, alongside me once again, the legendary Mr. Brendan Sir, Coach Brendan Sir, nonetheless. Coach, how you doing, brother?
The white shadow, yes.
No, we ain't doing that.
That was an old TV show in the States years ago with a white coach with an all-black team in LA. But I don't want to digress. But wow.
What a game. What a night. You know, mm-hmm. I was worried about, you know, when the Knicks won game five, I was like, they've ruined my Saturday night. My Saturday night turned out to be perfect. Yeah. That was, you know, sometimes you miss out on life because you're watching these games. And sometimes the games are horrible, 40-point blowouts. It makes you kind of think, is this worth it? But tonight, there is nowhere I would have rather have been, with a few exceptions, other than watching this NBA playoff basketball game. Because up until the final stretch of the game, this was a war. Both teams, yeah. The Pacers knew that if they go back for a game seven, the Knicks are going to win at game seven. And the Knicks knew they have to win to stay alive.
Yeah, it's the essence of a seven game playoff. The best team wins. And even though you blew game one, where you would have been up 3-2, that's what happens. And just like Boston blew two 20-point leads in Boston, or else they would have been up 2-0. So it comes at you quick. And I'll tell you what, Indiana showed they were the better team. Carlisle said before the game, Mo, to the TNT people in their pregame meeting, he said to Reggie and to Stan Van Gundy, he said, we have to have a great attitude and be aggressive if we're going to win. And that's exactly what they had.
You know, Rick Carlisle has done a fantastic job with this group. But This is the thing I love about the NBA. And this is the thing I love about sports in general. In December, the Pacers were 10 and 15. Tyrese Halliburton was having a nightmare start to the season. The team did not look like they were playing with any sort of cohesiveness. Fast forward to June, and they're in the NBA Finals. This is the beauty of sports, because we sit here as quote-unquote experts. They sit on TV, commentate the game as experts. People online, they have their opinions. No one knows, because I guarantee you, back in December, not one person, unless you're a delusional Pacers fan, believed that this team was going to the NBA Finals. And they fought through every single challenge they had, and they figured out a formula to get them to this stage.
Yeah, we talk about it. When you're coaching a team, you talk about, Mo, that the season is a marathon, as the, you know, what we try to tell them. And it's not one game. It's not a quick two or three game series. It's an 82 game season. That's why it's important as a coach and as your team to stay in the present and only worry about the game you play that night, as we talked about last week. And it's so important, because every time you step on the floor, if you give your effort, you know, and you can live with that, it's when you don't have that. And so tonight, what you saw is two teams playing their heart out. But then the second half started and Indiana came out and just had it, and they just unloaded.
Oh, by the way, if you guys didn't know, the Pacers won 125 to 108. But the halftime score, they were only up by 4 points. It was a back and forth game, 58-54.
And
they
Terrific first half.
The Pacers started third on a 13-2 run.
Right.
To take, you know, kind of the, what's the phrase?
The air out of the ball, the wind out of the sail.
Yeah, the wind out of the Knicks' sails, because you're coming out for the second half, boom, you blink, and it's a 13-2 run. The Knicks had a 7-0 run of their own midway through the third. And then the Pacers respond with a 9-0 run with fantastic defense. So that third quarter was what won it, because at the end of the third, it was 92-77.
Yeah, they had a lot of guys. And the saying in the NBA is that your role players play better at home, right? And guys tonight, Thomas Bryant was terrific off the bench. Tony Bradley had gotten hurt and wasn't going to play. But Thomas Bryant came out and made all kinds of 3-point shots. He was terrific.
Three or four from behind the arc.
But there were big ones.
You know, there was just some things that I just love to see. So, like, I tweeted about this. There was one possession where The Pacers force turnover. They're running in transition. Haliburton's got the ball. I've seen Thomas Bryant put his head down and sprint straight to the hoop. Like, I've never seen him run that fast. He
Right.
didn't get the ball, but he didn't just stand there. You know, some big men, they'll get down if they don't get the ball where they want it. They'll be kind of, he just relocates to the corner, gets the ball, and cashes in a three. I said, that's why you run so hard down the lane. These are all the good things that come from giving 100% effort.
Yeah, I mean he was terrific. Siakam was great. We'll talk about him later. But I thought the key was to start a game was Nembhard, the point guard, who has been really bad for 2 or 3 games, came out and they changed up the defensive assignments, and I thought that was really brilliant strategy. And they basically the way you get a player going sometimes is to make him play defense, and they gave him the challenge of stopping Brunson. And he dogged him full court and just wore him out. And that was good. And also, it gave Naismith a chance that if they did need him in the second half, they could use him, but they didn't. They just, it was all, it was all Nembhard, I thought. And that was the key on that defensively for them.
And it's a tough cover as well. You know, Jalen Brunson, one of the most talented scorers
Oh,
in the entire
absolutely.
NBA. But tonight, 19 points on 18 shots. That's.
Yeah, well, he was trying to get them back late in the game when they were down 15, 18 points. He just had to come down and try to, shoot the ball just to hopefully make some threes, and nothing was going in, and that happens. And, I'm never going to fault a guy like that that gives you everything. I just didn't think they had enough weapons offensively to beat them. I said that early in the
Yeah,
week.
it's weird because like at the end of the first quarter, the Knicks were closing with Mitch Robinson, Juice McBride, Landry Shamet, Delon Wright, and Josh Hart. And I'm like, I've never seen this lineup out here before. And you're
It's
playing this lineup to close a quarter in a conference finals game when it's a 1 point game.
it's a really and they have a lot of free agents there, and they're over the first apron. They're in trouble. They're in trouble from a financial standpoint in putting their team
What
together and
troubles
improving it.
me the most for the Knicks is you've traded now for Karl-Anthony Towns, who has had stretches of being fantastic in his playoffs. However, tonight, defensively, he didn't know what was going on. There were times he's just giving up wide open threes because he's scared of them driving to the hoop, and he's just not guarding Siakam and Haliburton shooting wide open threes.
Well, again, Carlisle, who you gave credit to, he did a masterful job of his substitutions. He went and he sneaks in his version of small ball is Pascal Siakam at 6'9" and Obi Toppin at 6'9",
Yeah,
6'10".
but Obi Toppin
And
can
they
jump
jump out of
about
the gym.
100
Yeah.
feet in the air.
So you put them in there and they both can run and they're both fast and they can jump out of the building. And see, and so there's no matchup. There's no matchup for the big fella.
And Obi Toppin, 18 points, 7 of 11 from the field.
And
The
many of
crowd
them
was
are
chanting his name.
in their lobs and dunks and
Yep.
drafted by the Knicks
Shout out to Mr. Scott Perry.
over Haliburton, I believe.
Well,
I'm not sure of that, but I'm pretty sure.
all is well that ends well because the Pacers made the move to go and get him. And I was thinking about it, like the trade that they made for Pascal Siakam, we talked about his leadership and all of these things. It was Bruce Brown, Jordan Nwora, Kyra Lewis Jr., two 2024 first round picks, and a conditional 2026 first round pick. Looking back on that now, Pascal Siakam's been named the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. Bruce Brown not sticking around in Toronto. Kyra Lewis Jr., Jordan, like, that's all you had to give up for Pascal Siakam?
It's incredible. It's incredible. And the Pacers front office has been phenomenal. I think they've done one of the best jobs, them and OKC, ironically, of building rosters and depth and staying under the cap. Both teams in the finals are under the salary cap.
I think it's the first time ever that both teams are out of luxury tax. We talked about this before. I think it's really interesting now, given the new CBA and the second apron and everything that comes in, is you look at these rosters and they go 10 plus deep, right? So you, for example, the Pacers, you've got Miles Turner as your backup center, as your starting center, and then you have Thomas Bryant, but you also have Tony Bradley, but then you also have Obi Toppin, Pascal Siakam, who you can move to the five. So you've got five guys that can play one position, right? And but How is other teams going to replicate that? Because you have to figure out a way to build this roster in a way that works financially. So the credit has to go to, because you talk a lot about Sam Presti, but the front office of the Indiana Pacers also deserves some serious credit for what
Fabulous.
they've been able to put together.
Just fabulous job. And it's sometimes equally important nowadays. Not just do you have to draft, there's three ways you acquire players in this league. It's through the draft, which is probably the least advantageous, free agency and trades. And trades is the way probably to do it the best. And if you look at the team that the Pacers have put together, trades of Halliburton, trades of Siakam. Oh, the only homegrown players, I believe, is Miles Turner.
He's been there for forever.
Yeah, and most of the other guys that are playing a lot are mostly guys they've acquired different ways. Topping is a trade, and I think they got him for a second round pick, so pretty damn good. I mean, they've really, really done a good job of building their squad, and their age is on target. I think we're going to see a great finals, but I can't be more impressed. And the Indiana crowd was spectacular.
It's a
Every
basketball state over there in Indy.
yeah, as they say, there's 49 states in the country that play basketball, and then there's Indiana. That's the way that it's,
Yeah, I heard Rick Carlisle say that before when I interviewed him on the call.
And they called the Hoosier State, and they just think that they are the best, and it's really from kids' age all the way up, it's a basketball state. It's not any other sport.
Pascal Siakam won the MVP of the East Conference Finals. He finished with 31 points in tonight's game. Tyrese Halliburton, 21 points, 13 assists, and 6 rebounds, 3 steals, and even a block showing up on the defensive side of the basketball. They had a bunch of guys in double figures. We talked about Thomas Bryant, Obi Toppin, then of course Nesmith was so huge for this team, especially in this series, but the whole run, the whole playoff run they've been on, he's been absolutely magnificent for them.
Yeah, no, again, their depth is incredible. And every time tonight, Carlisle put in a guy, just about worked. And that's, as a coach, that's when you feel pretty smart afterwards, and you, but you know what? As a coach, most importantly, you're really proud that your team showed up when it's time to, and that's what they were. And they earned themselves, totally earned themselves a trip to the NBA Finals.
For the New York Knicks, however, they have some question marks because I feel like this year the Pacers took out the Cavs, the Knicks themselves took out the Celtics. This was their best chance to make a run at going to the NBA Finals now. So how are you looking at this team moving forwards? Because the listeners to the show who are in the Discord, they were talking about it just now, about teams can't win championships with a small point guard as their best player, with obviously the exceptions of Steph Curry and Isaiah Thomas. But in the modern NBA today, when you look at the point guards who have made it, Tyrese Halliburton is not exactly a small point guard. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, not exactly a small point guard. Can you win with Jalen Brunson being your best player? Because Becky Hammon said that you couldn't, and the New York fans lost their mind at her.
Who's that? Becky Hammon, the women's coach of the.
She was on TV. She said, "You can't win a championship with a small guy like Jalen Brunson being your best player." Would you agree with
Interesting.
that?
No. Absolutely not. No,
For
absolutely not.
Jalen Brunson, or just for the sentiment in
No,
general?
just in general. No, not at all. No, I don't. It depends who the other guys are. If you got Giannis on your team, and if you
No,
got,
but if you've got Giannis on your team, Giannis is going to be your best player.
Well, but I best players and all that. Well, Halliburton's not their best player,
You don't think so?
No, I think Siakam is. I think Halliburton's a hell of a player, but you're not going to win a championship with one guy. You're going to win with three guys minimum, and they just don't have enough players, in my opinion.
The Knicks, yeah.
It's not Brunson's fault. If if you have Brunson. And Cat is a good player, but I think they don't have enough around him. The problem is now they're at 200 million in salary, with about six or seven free agents now.
And they traded away the 5 first round picks for Mikal Bridges.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. I think they're in a little bit of trouble, and they're not gonna. They don't. They're losing a not a you know, but they're gonna have a lot of trouble, you know, putting a roster together, and you know, go, and no, end up going over to second apron probably, you know. So, it's just difficult, you know. Shit, this stuff's hard, man. You know, but you know, the last thing I'm gonna do is front, you know, fault Brunson. He's a terrific player. You know, I look at guys that max out their talent, and he has done that. He's not a max player salary wise. He refused that. So he you know, OG's their max player. Karl Anthony Towns is close to a max player. So those are the guys that are the big salary guys.
No,
I
I
give
think
Brunson.
Cat's definitely a max player. He's making
Yeah, no,
53 million this season.
I think he is. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So Brunson's, you know, those are the highest paid guys. Brunson is playing way above his salary, in my opinion, as I say. And that's all, you know, that's what I judge by. If the guy is your best player based on his performance, so be it. He can't apologize, nor can the team. But you're not going to win with one, two, or three guys. Just like Giannis is a great player. But when you know Lillard goes down, they don't have any players around him. Now with Lillard out, they don't have anything. So,
I like the sentiment of the New York front office kind of making a trade for Towns and being aggressive. And I saw the philosophy that they wanted to go with, having a five man that can stretch the floor. They ended up having to revert to Mitchell Robinson being a five man and playing Karl-Anthony Towns at the four, which I think is a much better situation for him. You know, he learned to play that way in Minnesota with Rudy
he can't
Gobert.
guard it. He can't guard anyone. That's the
He can't
problem at
guard
the
anyone
four.
at any
No,
position.
that's the problem. That's the
So
problem.
this is the thing, is like I respect the decision to try and go all in and get Karl-Anthony Towns and make a run at this. However, you've paired Jalen Brunson, who's a fantastic player, but as we've discussed, a subpar defender, with another very talented offensive player and subpar defender. And there's not really room for two guys like that on a team.
No, that's the fault of the team. That's not, you know, that's it. And you know, that's why, you know, that's why they finished, you know, third, you know, with a good effort. They really overachieved all year as a team to finish third, you know, and I think Thibodeau's, it's a second or third 50 plus win team, which is, you know, just done a great job rebuilding from where they were. It's been a really fantastic rebuild job in New York. So I don't give any fault to that. And you know, and his job is to coach. His job is not to put the team together. So you know, and you know, if the problem that started was Hartenstein, who was their starting five man last year, they couldn't retain him because of his salary. And then Sam Presti geniusly comes along, and the only number the Knicks could give him was 19 million. And Sam Presti walks in and says, "Here's 30 million in year one." And that's it. It's over. And so that's why he's in OKC along with Chet. And so, you know,
And the way that OKC
strategically,
have
they're
done those
behind.
contracts, they've given this team currently a 3-year window now to compete for this year and the next 2 years after before they have to be affected by any of those major salary implications.
Yeah, you know, it's, well, you know, it's gonna, I think it'll be shorter than that, because I think it'll be interesting to see what Shea does. Because he can be our first $380 million 5-year contract player, in I believe next year,
Yeah,
you know.
but
And
that would that kick in before this current contract ends?
I don't know.
He's still got two more years after the season remaining on his current
I
deal.
think he can opt out. I think he can opt out next year. So I think if he stays one more year, I think he can opt
Yeah,
out.
he can't opt out, but he's eligible for the extension next year.
No, I think he can opt out of it. I think he has a thing where he can.
Maybe.
It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really
But
matter.
yeah, the point being
I
is yeah,
you know, they're in a good position, I think, to sustain it. They need to get more, believe it or not. And again, it's going to be hard to retain everyone. But when you're on a ride like this, you don't worry about that. You worry, you stay in the present. You try to win one championship. Sam Presti's been there 17 years. They have not won a championship. This is all they better worry about. You don't worry about next year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the road. You got to win a championship this year. The pressure is on OKC. They had the most wins. The pressure is on them to win the whole thing.
So let's get into it then. The NBA Finals, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers in a finals that I don't believe anyone on earth predicted being the case other than Pacers fans. Who do you have and in how many games?
Well, I think home court will play a huge advantage. So I expect OKC to win their home games, and I expect Indiana to possibly win all theirs,
So you
because
see it going seven.
OKC's not a great road team, and so I think this thing could go seven, six at the, possibly six, but I think seven.
That's interesting.
I'll be surprised if it's anything less.
You say they're not a great road team. They were 32-8 on the road in the
No,
regular
I'm talking
season.
about I
But
no
in the
I, I'm
playoffs,
talking
it's a different
playoffs.
story.
That's a
So we
whole
can't look
different
at the
animal.
head-to-head between the two teams in the regular
Not at all.
season.
Not at all.
Everything goes out the window. This is a whole new ball game.
Yeah,
And
100% Mo.
they're going to have now 5 days to scout. I think the OKC have had a little bit longer, knowing that Indiana are probably going to make it.
Yeah,
But
OKC took the last 2 days off. Stay home. Today they got back in the gym, started to watch films, and just start on that process. These guys have been playing since September. So they're what you're trying to do is just keep their legs, make sure they have fresh legs for the playoffs. Don't get anyone hurt now. And then again, the layoffs, you play at an incredibly high competitive rate in the Minnesota series. Now you have several days off. Indiana's going to go in there and try to steal one of these two. And if they do, oh hell, man, then it gets
Well,
interesting.
personally, I think the Thunder are going to win this in five games. I think that the Knicks made this a very, very competitive series. It could have easily gone seven games, but the Thunder and the Knicks are in two different weight classes on the defensive side of the basketball. The Thunder have so many guys that can go out there. And what was interesting in the last game that New York won in game five, I looked at some of the data afterwards, and they were picking up Tyrese Haliburton way further up the court than they usually pick him up. Now, the Thunder can wheel out five guys that can pick him up full court every time, like Indiana do to their opponents. I wouldn't be surprised if that's something that the OKC put into their game plan is okay, cool. We're going to pressure Tyrese 94 feet as well. We've got the personnel to do it. We've got elite defenders. We've got great defenders. And he didn't thrive in game five under that level of pressure.
Yeah, but I also think conversely that Indiana's going to pick up them full court and wear out Shea, and that is what they're going to try to do. That's something that they're used to. They'll have different defenders on them, and I think that's a huge advantage. They have a lot of bodies to throw at him. This is what you do, and so I think it's really going to be a fascinating thing. And oh, sure, we would like to all say we know what's going to happen, but you have no clue. I mean, not irrespectfully, not you. None of us have
No
any
one,
clue.
no one.
No one has any damn
that's
clue.
why it's fun to do this, you
No,
know? If
that's what I'm
we
saying.
knew everything that's going to happen, we wouldn't even need to watch the games.
No, this is gonna be interesting, I think OKC will be the favorites, obviously, with home court and that they had, but don't underestimate Indiana. Do not underestimate them. They're a road win away from making it a seven game series. That's the way I look at it. And they're capable, as we know, of winning on the road. Two in Cleveland. I think it's possible. What they've done to New York. Going in there and playing really well, two games. I think anything's possible. But the thing I like is that I think we really do got the two best playoff teams in here. That's what it's all about. And I think the Bostons and the Clevelands and people on ESPN thought the Lakers were going to be there,
Oh man,
and
I
all
accepted
these
that.
people. No. So these guys earned it, and Minnesota dispatched of teams coming in there, and they really handled Minnesota. So I think the right teams are here. They played their way in aggressively, and they played as a team. And so I think, I was watching Champions League soccer today, and I'm watching PSG. You don't know, man. I mean, this is the final game, and it's supposed to be close games, and all of a sudden it's a blowout,
Yeah,
right?
5-0.
So I mean, that's like a 40-point basketball game,
Yep, absolutely. Who is the one player you're looking like? We know Shea is going to show up and do what he does. We know Haliburton, we know Siakam. Who's the player that might be going under people's radar that you're going to think could be an X factor in this series?
I'm going to take it from a role player thing. I
Yeah,
think
that's what I mean.
Lu Dort has to really establish himself on a defensive end, and I'm not sure who Lu Dort's going to guard.
If you were coaching the Thunder, who would you give him the assignment for?
Oh boy, that see that's the interesting. Usually he guards shooters and stuff like that. Now, does he come and play Haliburton? That's who I'm thinking right now.
Yeah, because
But
the other thing you
Haliburton
could.
is very quick also. So, and Jalen Williams could be, J Dub could be the guy that, ends up playing him with his size. You risk foul trouble. So, I mean, those are things. Now we know when Wallace comes in and those other cats, they'll throw him on those.
Caruso.
Oh, Caruso. Caruso's not a good matchup for Haliburton, no,
You don't
because
think?
he's not quick enough. In my opinion, he'll play him, he'll fight him, but he's not a guy. I think Haliburton's very clever with the ball, and stuff. But I mean, I think both coaches are really gonna, they are really gonna be a big factor in this game. These two
Yeah.
guys are gonna be big time.
Because I'm looking at the front court matchups, Siakam and Turner versus Chet and Isaiah Hartenstein. How are you playing that out? Because it's two, well, Chet stretches the floor, Turner stretches the floor. Isaiah Hartenstein, he's a great passer, great playmaker. Rebounding is going to be huge for him in this series. But then you've got Siakam, who's kind of, he can get a cookie from anywhere when he's on.
100. Yeah, I think that's who you're going to see Caruso on when he comes in. I think, but I think to start the game, I think you'll see Chet on Siakam, and I think you'll see Hartenstein on Miles Turner, to start with. And Naismith, it could be Dort and Jalen Williams on Haliburton, and I think you'll see Shea against Nembhard, to start. But Carlisle's going to play 10 or 11. And so are these guys, OKC. So I think somehow role players are going to be big. Home court is going to be absolutely huge. But foul trouble is going to be a factor for both teams. Even though I think OKC is really, really good as far as they don't commit a lot of fouls. They're really smart the way they play. I'm really looking forward to it, but I'm wanting to see how they. What they do to try to disrupt OKC's offense. That's what I'm really waiting to see what the Pacers do. And
Yeah.
the great Ginny Bousette, who is the woman on the Pacers staff, who is their defensive coordinator, she is outstanding. And she's the one that really handles everything and from the matchups to the pressure they put on. And she's done an incredible job. So I'm anxious to see what happens there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because we know that the OKC team, and in particular Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, are great at drawing fouls. So if you give Nesmith the assignment of guarding Shai, you could be looking at an extended stretch without Nesmith. If you give Nemhard the assignment as well, you can have at least one of those guys in foul trouble on a nightly basis.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what I'm saying. It's going to be all, they have so many people and bodies to throw them. I think they throw in the Canadian brother of, they're going to throw our guy in that played on the Canadian Olympic team with him, Mathurin, and all of a sudden just try to beat him up too. And he'll draw fouls and stuff like that. But I think there'll be some interesting matchups along the way, and but you got to steal one road game. That is what the Pacers' mentality is going to be on those two games in there on Thursday, Saturday, I believe it is.
Yeah, and Jairus Walker had a horrible injury today. I don't know if he broke his ankle. I don't know if it's just a sprain, but it did not look good. Fingers crossed that he has a quick recovery, but I don't anticipate him playing.
No, I agree with you. I saw him out there in the post game thing on crutches,
Yeah, the
And
way he
that's,
fell on his ankle, it looked like it snapped and.
the thing that Jarris is a great young talent, but he had not been playing at all till this series,
Yeah.
really of any significance. So he got his shot, and so they're going to have to do without him, I expect. But there's a deep team, and I think they'll be decent shape. I don't think it'll affect them. It's not like a starter getting hurt, in my opinion.
Well, I'll tell you what, coach, I cannot wait for the NBA finals. A lot of people talk about, oh, it's small market teams, it's this, it's that. I don't care. It's the two best teams in the NBA playoffs this season have made their way to the finals. No excuses, no asterisks. These are the two best teams, and they're going to fight it out starting on Wednesday night. Is it Wednesday night?
Thursday night,
Thursday night?
the fifth.
Starting on 5th or the 6th for you if you're in Europe or UK.
Yes.
And I am so excited to see because we're going to have a new champion once again. And it's two hungry teams, fast-paced basketball. They're going to be defenses are going to be wreaking havoc. They're going to be out there. They're going to be running. It's going to be beautiful to watch. I can't wait.
It's like the Super Bowl football wise here. This game, these playoffs, these 7 games potentially, they'll be seen in over 200 countries worldwide. It is next to football, international football. It's the most watched sport in the world, and it's the most participated sport in the world. You know, football and basketball now internationally, worldwide, are the two most popular sports playing with people participating. So it doesn't matter whether you're in China, anywhere in the Balkans or anything, you love basketball, and that's what I think we're going to see. And I think it's going to be quite interesting. And I think the competitiveness of these teams is going to be outstanding. Hope for a 7-game series, Mo, because that means we get to do this show 7 more times.
Absolutely. And we'll be back because we've got the NBA draft after that. We're going to have some free agency, some trades, but we are going to get a little break before the NBA finals begin. Coach, I know you want to keep going, but
I know.
I need
I
to
know. You
rest.
need, yeah. You know, at your age, you need to rest. I don't.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm getting up there in the years. You know, I'm holding on to my hairline, trying to just, keep it all together. But we'll be back after game one of the NBA finals. Do not miss it. We're going to keep this thing rolling. Do you have a pick for game one? OKC at home?
Okay, see.
Yeah, we're going to go with OKC in
Okay.
game one. We'll see you guys on Thursday morning. And subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple. And if you want something to fill the void of basketball that you'll be missing with the 4 days without us, you can catch Coach Sir on his own podcast, the Coaching You podcast. There's hours and hours of stuff there. You can also get the Coaching You app. Check out their website for all of those details. And that will keep you guys busy until we're back after game one. Coach, any last words before the NBA finals get underway?
I would normally tell you to get buckets, but I'm going to tell you tonight, get rest.
Well, to the Indiana Pacers and the OKC Thunder, if you guys are listening to this, there's only one thing you guys can do. For the next 7 games, get buckets.